chemical weapons.
Saddam Hussein dead.
You're listening to Cinema Recon.
Well, hello, and welcome to the annual edition of Cinema Recon.
That's right. We figured one a year is all you can handle.
We'll see you next year.
It's such good content.
Thanks for joining us. It's December 1st, 2013.
Yeah.
It sure is.
It's almost the 2014s.
Oh my God, we're so close to the end of the year. last you saw us, it was Thanksgiving.
Last year, yeah. 2012.
Why don't you catch everyone up on what happened past year, Jake?
Well, if you're listening to this, our machine has worked. We are 1 year in the future. We have traveled through time. 1 year in the future.
Using nothing but our laptop and a ball of twine.
A bottle of twine?
A ball.
Oh, they said a bottle of twine.
A ball.
Who puts twine in a bottle?
A bottle of balls.
It'd be very difficult to get it out.
Sure would.
Catch up on the Jake year in review.
Well, I was just joking, but we have lots of time.
Okay. Well, the day after our last show, let's see. I went to work, then the next day.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it's been a year. I almost died and had a back accident, but now I'm better.
All right, now on to me.
Nobody cares about your life-threatening injury.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Jake was actually separated in two.
Actually, I literally was. I was separated in two, broke my back, almost died, had some terrific people save me on a little backpacking excursion. But now I am here and healed and good as new. And
they upgraded his status to alive.
Yeah. So I do have a bionic leg that has a gun inside of it.
Ooh.
So much like RoboCop, I will be romping through the streets.
It's awesome.
Yeah. So that and... Oh, I got engaged. Yeah. So
not to me.
I know. All you listener.
Yeah, lesson be learned. You got to be quick and snatch him up, guys. Otherwise, you'll miss your opportunity.
Why is he looking right into my eyes?
Because they're dreamy.
Yeah, and then, same old stuff.
Same
man.
Old stuff. Well, I died twice, and I was also engaged twice.
You always have to one-up me.
No big deal. Yeah, I wish I had something as exciting as Jake to report, but basically... No,
I wish I had something as exciting as almost dying.
I was frozen in carbonite. I was actually Jake's coffee table for the past year.
Delicious.
Yeah, so we decided to unthaw me.
Use a coaster on the Paul.
Yeah. Oh, you dirtied the Paul. And now we can get back to doing some Cinema Recon.
Yeah, so I think I saw a movie or two.
Oh my God, I saw a few movies. Yeah.
I don't remember what they are.
Any exciting films of note this past 365 days? It really has been about 365 days
almost
to the day.
To the day.
I think the last episode we did was Skyfall.
And I think that was like Thanksgiving Day weekend or something.
Of 2012.
So, like I said, we're good for a year. The shelf life is 1 year. So, last time you listened, now you don't have to listen to it for another year.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see you then. It'll be the Cinema Recon Thanksgiving extravaganza.
Bye bye. I don't know. There was a couple movies of note. I think the big one was probably Man of Steel.
Yeah, we were all excited for that for a while.
And Thor recently came out. I've been out of the booze.
I haven't even seen Thor. Yeah, I saw some Thor.
I saw Man of Steel. I thought it was all right.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just like
we'll just review all of the movies of the past year.
Okay.
Right now.
Well, the day after the last show.
Yeah, well, we decided to get back in front of the microphones and do what we do best, which is talk and make each other laugh.
Just nothing at all.
Yeah, exactly. So we have a great show for you, as usual. As has been, I would go out on a limb and say this will be our best episode of the year. we did see the biggest movie on the planet right now, which is The Hunger Games: Catching Fire. It's hard to whistle when you're laughing.
It's very difficult.
It's hard to whistle when you're laughing and you have a very large beard.
It's a beard.
Yeah. Yeah, we saw Catching Fire, and we'll give you our review on that, as well as some tidbits in the news. There's quite a bit that happened, actually.
We'll go day by day, again.
Every single day.
For your listening pleasure.
Yeah, actually some very, very recent stuff that's happened. We are the day after Paul Walker just passed away. And
yes.
Which is crazy to think about.
It is very crazy. Rest in peace, Paul Walker. You were you seem like you would be a nice guy if I ever met you. I don't know.
We have several other things in the news to talk about as well, so we'll get to that after, as typical, our review of
the
Hunger Games. I'll give you another chance to whistle.
Can't even get one note out.
Yeah. So you want to just dive right in?
Yeah. Well,
is the ring rust off?
Sure. Let's.
Think you're ready to go.
If anybody has questions or
comments. Raise your hand.
Raise your hand.
No one.
Yeah, first of the class. Questions or comments, ladies first. Any comments, you can email us, cinemarecon@gmail.com, Facebook, Twitter, mm-hmm. all that.
All those things still work, actually.
Yeah, no, they do.
Yeah.
I've been keeping them up.
Yeah.
I've been behind the scenes on mechanical gears, making sure that these
were. I haven't opened the email in a while, so I'm sure there's thousands of emails.
We have so many cousins in Saudi Arabia who need us to wire them money.
I have so many free samples of toothpaste just waiting for me. Yeah. So, why don't we, we'll go ahead and just jump right into
a review of
The Hunger Games. So, as we said, we saw The Hunger Games Catching Fire, which was released on November 22nd, 2013. It has a rating of PG-13.
Ooh.
I know. No R for this one. It just barely missed NC-17. Yeah. A running time of 2 hours and 26 minutes.
See, that's wrong. Is that from Fandango?
This is from Rotten Tomatoes.
See, I think they're including the credits because I was timing it. I'm sorry, not the credits, the trailers. I was timing it on my watch, and the way the movie was unfolding, I was like looking at my watch, and I'm like, oh, there's like another half hour, and then it was starting to get towards the end of the actual movie, and I was like, there's another half hour. I was like, I'm just kind of stoked for what they're going to show next. And then it kind of ends. And I was like.
And they showed more trailers after the movie.
Yeah. So I think it's about a 2-hour movie.
It was a lot. It was almost 30 minutes of trailers.
It was 26 minutes. This is too much.
It's crazy.
I thought I remember reading somewhere that some people are starting to
revolt.
Kind of. Yeah. Well, what they do is they get two people from each district from trailers.
And tridents, apparently.
And they will kill them. Too many trailers.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, if you factor in driving to the movie, like 30 minutes of trailers, and then like a 2.5-hour movie, that's like 4 hours.
That's like 3.5 hours. Yeah, we did notice that there was a lot of trailers. We actually now that we mention it, we'll save it for the news. But there was one trailer in particular we saw that we want to talk about.
Big Mama House 5.
They're still making those.
Are they?
You know what's funny is that this is totally unrelated, but
we never do unrelated stuff.
I saw Mandela walking, what is it? A Long Walk or the new Mandela movie, Nelson Mandela movie.
Yeah.
And I swear to you, I thought it was Medea. I was like, another Medea movie.
No.
I was like, a Medea movie got some pretty good reviews, actually.
That's a really good cast in this movie.
Apparently, the new Medea movie is tearing it up in South Africa. Yeah.
No. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
It was Nelson Mandela played by Tyler Perry.
That would not surprise me. And then he also plays,
Morgan Freeman.
And then he also plays his own mom. Yeah.
So, I'm Nelson Mandela's mom.
That is a spot on impression of him.
Of Miss Mandela?
Of Miss Mandela.
She's what a sweetheart. Mm. She's a sweetheart.
Makes delicious cookies.
Mm-hmm.
So, Hunger Games was released. Oh, we like to do the Rotten Tomato rating.
The Tomometer.
Tomato rating?
Tomato Raider.
I leave and I get a weird accent.
Yeah.
Do you want to guess, or do you know?
I don't know.
You want to fake it?
I'm going to guess.
110%.
9 tomatoes. I'm going to say 87.
Ooh, you're close. 89%.
Wow, that's pretty good. I'm smart.
I mean, yeah. You're pretty smart. I mean, you're 2% off of being really smart.
Well, I'll take it.
89% right now on Rotten Tomatoes, which is great. I mean, anything above 60% is considered fresh.
And not rotten.
Not rotten. The studio that brought you Hunger Games and is what do we say about Lionsgate before? Like, they're just basically like printing their own money, like waiting around.
They're
all just high fiving each other. There's some bit we did with the first Hunger Games.
Welcome to CinemaRecon, the new episode where we're just going to try to remember the jokes from a year ago.
Lionsgate brought you the Hunger Games, and it was directed by Francis Lawrence. It stars a plethora of actors. Jennifer Lawrence, Josh Hutcherson, Liam Hemsworth, Elizabeth Banks, Woody Harrelson, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Donald Sutherland.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
He was in it. And Lenny Kravitz.
We had some funny jokes during the movie, like, oh, whatever.
Remember that time? Listeners, while we were in the movie. I pulled the synopsis right off of Rotten Tomatoes, or IMDb, actually. Katniss Everdeen and Peeta Mellark become targets of the Capitol after their victory in the 74th Hunger Games sparks a rebellion in the districts of Panem.
I think it's Panem. And is that what, like, I don't know what that is. Is that...
It's the
continent now.
I was thinking that too. Like, is this like an alternate Earth?
I don't. I don't know.
Is this like New Jersey? I'm oblivious to what happens.
Welcome to the Hunger Games of Brentwood.
Well, let's listen to the trailer.
Ladies and gentlemen, the victors of the 74th Hunger Games, Katniss Everdeen and Peeta Mellark.
She's not who they think she is. She just wants to save her skin. Simple as that. She has become a beacon of hope for them. So she has to be eliminated. What do you think?
I agree she should die, but in the right way, at the right time. Katniss Everdeen is a symbol. We don't have to destroy her, just her image. Show them that she is one of us now. Let them rally behind that. They're gonna hate her so much, they might just kill her for you.
Hungry.
Drink it down. That's a movie trailer for you.
Yeah.
So yeah, we saw Hunger Games. Jake, you wanna dive right in? What was your initial impressions walking out? Man, there's a lot of trailers.
Did you know Philip Seymour Hoffman was in that movie?
No, Lenny Kravitz was there too.
I thought it was good, dude.
Wow.
I remember I didn't care. I know.
You like a movie.
I bet you're stunned to hear me say that. Shut up. I thought it was good. I remember the first one I didn't care for. Not that I didn't care for, but if
I just hated it.
For all of our listener, you know that I'm, you know that I'm a little, you know, I'm a little harsh on, you know, I kind of a little angry.
I call them zezzasisms.
And the first one I thought was a little more on the teeny bopper side. I thought it was just a little bit more of a, I don't know how to say it, like geared towards the Twilight franchise audience. Obviously, that's what the books are, you know, the young adult novels or whatever. But this one I liked more as an actual movie. This just like was a good, solid movie. There's, you know, some good action and good story. And, I liked it a lot more than the first one.
I wish Jennifer Lawrence didn't keep pulling out her Oscar, waving it around in front of all the other actors.
He's like, you see this?
I'm only 23.
I can do whatever I want. Yeah. I can print money like Lionsgate. You remember that joke from a year ago?
I remember. Well, first of all, Jake and I, neither one of us have read the books, so we should say that we're coming into it without this. We're not a pre-fan base of the what is it? It's a trilogy.
It's a trilogy.
I think the books.
Yeah.
Books are a trilogy. So we saw the first one without having read the book. I actually liked the first one. I know you guys were a little lukewarm. Cassie did the review with us then too.
Well, I liked it, but I thought it was good, but then I have my issues.
We picked apart quite a bit of the first one. A lot of the sillier things, like when, you know, Peeta paints himself as rocks.
That was the most retarded shit in the world, dude. We watched it on TV the other day.
Yeah.
And she like comes over to him. She's like, what are you doing? And he's like, look. And his whole hand is like beautifully crafted as like a tree, right? Yeah. And he's like, look. And then he goes over to the tree and puts his hand on it and you can't see his hand.
This
like,
took me 6 weeks.
Like, yeah, that took you fucking forever, dude. How are you gonna, and then, like, what are you gonna use in the wilderness? You bring your paint kit out
no
there?
No one is gonna be able to see my hand. If they're aiming for my hand, they're out of luck.
He's gonna like, hold on. He puts his hand in front of his face.
Where'd you go?
I thought there were a little bit more silly parts in the first one, and it was a little bit more, I wouldn't say lighthearted, but, you know, it was just a little bit lighter of a movie, I think, than this one. This one touches on a lot more of the aspects of kind of like, you know, revolution and, you know, change of the system and stuff, which I thought was a really, really cool overtones, or not overtones, but just the story was, I thought, very well portrayed, and they did a good job.
I liked it. I thought that I enjoyed myself. I thought that it was a little odd that, you know, it felt kind of like a little bit of a rehash of the first one. That might be my biggest complaint. Well, they're right back into another Hunger Games.
Excuse me.
I'm definitely glad they didn't dwell on, you know, PETA wasn't painting anything once they dive back into another Hunger Games.
That was the first hour and a half, actually.
But yeah, it felt, to me, the movie felt like they got out of the way all the character, background. So they didn't have to do that like they did in the first movie. So we already knew who all the characters were. So that's nice. But it did feel like a big build up to get into another Hunger Games. And then by the end of the Hunger Games, it just felt like we were right back where we started. That's kind of like,
at the end of the movie, you're
saying? End of the movie, I feel like we're right back where we started at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
It almost like, I haven't read the books, so I don't know how they play out, but it almost felt like this was kind of like a filler for like what is, you know, is inevitably going to happen, which is the big uprising of the districts.
What?
Well, spoiler alert. Yeah. They did, but you know, I guess you needed that kind of tension to be actually built up and to see the different districts, rising up as PETA and Katniss have their adventures in the dome.
In the dome.
The dome of death.
Now they enter the dome of death.
Yeah.
I thought, I don't know. I mean, again, I don't, haven't read the books. I definitely think this one was not just picked up in the same place as the first one led off. Cause I think the first one was, you know, kind of the setup of, Katniss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a person. And now this one, I think, is more of the setup of her as a
human being,
as a human person, as a robot.
It did
more the setup of her as the, symbol of the revolution or of hope.
The Mockingjay.
Yeah. The Mockingbird.
that one. The
mimicking Mockingbird. No, I thought this one was definitely deserved in between the movies. They're making it because the next ones are two, isn't there?
They're going to split the next one.
Yeah.
What they're going to do?
Yeah, right. Or is that this one they're splitting?
I thought that. No, I thought.
What was this one called? Mocking.
Where are we?
Who are you
people?
Oh,
get out of my living room.
It's a year in the future.
I thought.
what was the one we just saw called?
Catching Fire.
So then Mockingjay is going to be two parts.
Oh, yeah. They're going to split Mockingjay?
Yeah, yeah. They're going to...
Jesus, they're
going
to milk the hell out of this.
They're going Peter Jackson style.
That's, you know, it's... Well, no, I would say Twilight style, right? Splitting one.
They're going
one
Twilight Jackson, Peter Jackson style.
I guess Jackson turned one book into three movies.
Into 17 movies. I was just talking about that the other day. Wouldn't, if you were Peter Jackson, who is the Lord of the Rings and Hobbit director.
Yes.
Wouldn't you be bored with that by now?
Just done.
I mean, that's like.
I am so bored with all this money that I'm making. you know what? I'm done. Con it a day.
I mean, so. All right. So I was just thinking.
He's just really passionate about the subject matter.
He loves elves. But for like 12 years? Are you passionate about that for 12 years?
I mean, a lot of people have careers that last longer than 12 years.
Well, so that's the flip side of the coin. I was thinking about that. I was like watching The Hobbit on HBO the other day. I was like, God, this shit is still like going on. I was like, Lord of the Rings started like forever ago. And I was like, wouldn't this director just be tired of going to work every day? And it's like the same costumes and the elves and the beards and the, it's just like,
well, I think
Aren't you just like, oh God, I'm tired of this shit.
I think that was kind of his thing, was like Peter Jackson was like a super fanboy when it came to Tolkien and Lord of the Rings. And so like the reason he did the movies in the first place was because, I mean, he was a super fan. And so I guess that would translate into, you know, why not? I'll make as many movies as you guys pay me to make.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, in any career, I mean, you're still trying to outdo yourself every single time and it presents new challenges. And
I guess, but I mean, you know, the flip side, like I said, the flip side of the coin is, well, you know, lots of people go to work at the same job for 10 or 12 years and they're just, you know, fucking
bored.
At a desk and punching paper, you know, punching, what are they, punching the papers?
Punching papers.
You fucking hate this paper. Oh, punching the clock or, you know, at a desk or whatever, so.
Well, the Hunger Games won't go more than four movies, though, right?
No, no, no. There's no way. I was just going off on a tangent.
And they're not writing anymore. Do you know anything about the author of the books? Is she...
Do I know anything about her?
Yeah, is she doing more
Susan?
Books?
Yeah, Susan. She's fantastic.
She's right here, actually.
Sweetheart. Oh. What a sweetheart. She bakes some great cookies. No, I don't know anything about her.
No, I know nothing about
whoever that person is. Yeah. Except for they probably also are rolling in money.
Oh, yeah. Well, definitely. Well, it's a good year to be Lionsgate. Good couple of years.
It's a good year for them.
Well, right now it's tearing up the box office. It's murdering every other movie in its wake.
It's just Hunger Games-ing the movies. Yeah, no. Yeah, so the next one is split into two parts, but which, again, I have no idea how much more story there is in terms of the books after this.
I guess you have the uprising. So Katniss goes to war.
Katniss goes to war.
She's going to take her bow and arrow and... Mosin
I will make it a fully automatic bow and arrow now.
Wow.
No, but yeah, I thought it was good. I thought it was definitely needed in there. There's some great tension. I thought the storyline, and I don't know if it's better, everybody always says the books are better. I don't know if the books are better or the movie's better at portraying the storyline, but I really like the idea. Like not really the Hunger Games. That's kind of just like a
story
device or something. Yeah. What do they call it? A plot device?
Yes.
I don't know. Anyways. But that's just like the catalyst for everything that kind of happens, right?
Okay.
But I think the whole storyline is really cool and really interesting in terms of just like, in terms of like just, how do I say this? Like
with English words.
Just, oh no, see, in terms of just like, describing like a system. Fuck, I don't know how to say this.
I don't know.
Okay. In terms of just like expressing and like showing like how a revolution can really be started. How people can like empower themselves to make change.
Okay.
And I probably sound like a total like tween like girl right now, but no, I think it's really cool because that type of stuff has always historically been fascinating to me, like when people like actually take the courage to like overthrow their own government or to like take power back from a dictator or whoever, like that's super fascinating for me. And like I think this movie was doing a pretty good job of like laying that out, and you see the president in the Capitol and you see like him like controlling everything, like specifically the one scene where, which I thought was hilarious, but it was pretty powerful scene when she gives the first speech at district whatever that the little girl Rue was from.
They're going there. Oh, yeah.
And then that one guy does a little Mockingjay whistle and puts up the little, I don't know what this is, the little symbol they do with their fingers.
Yeah.
And then the guards go shh with their sticks and immediately just execute him. Yeah. Like, I thought that was pretty powerful. That was like, you do not rise up against, I don't know what this is supposed to, the little hand thing is supposed to stand for. Like,
It's the middle finger in the Hunger Games universe.
Excuse me.
It's everyone keep quiet.
Yeah. Stop talking.
Yeah.
No, I thought that was a pretty powerful scene. Like, you do not express views different than the Capitol.
How ballsy of you, Hunger Games.
Yeah. No, I thought that was pretty impressive. I was like, oh, they went there. All right.
Yeah. I was hoping in the first movie I don't know. This is kind of silly of me, but I was hoping to see more like
juggling,
gore and slaughtering these kids in this arena. But it's PG-13 rating. So I thought, it touched on some pretty like,
I thought the first one was actually pretty violent for a PG-13.
Yeah. Movie. Yeah. Again, I'm probably comparing it to Battle Royale.
I'm comparing it to Friday the 13th.
Maybe not. I can't. But in particular, though, I think you're right. I mean, cinematically, I think this was a much better movie. I think they improved upon the first in every single way.
Yeah.
I didn't dislike the movie because I felt like it went back into the Hunger Games, and I don't want to like condemn it and say the whole thing was a rehash, because you're right. It needed that whole build up for the eventual revolution actually mean something when they get to it. So all in all, I really liked it. Jennifer Lawrence, just say like she's pretty awesome. As far as an actress goes, easy on the eyes, certainly. But no, she's good. Seems like in everything she does.
No, she's fantastic.
Again, the cast here was pretty amazing. I included everyone on the list when I went through the rundown, just because you can kind of see just how many people are involved in this, big name actors.
Yeah, I wonder how many people I'm sure almost everybody kind of just wrote off Jennifer Lawrence when she first kind of came into the Hollywood scene. Like, oh, another pretty face.
Wasn't that a thing though? Didn't they say like, I heard something like where they, when she first came on the scene, like, you know, that someone had told her, like, advised her, like, lose some weight or something or do yeah. this. And she was basically like
yes. fuck you.
Yeah. That's what she said. She gave him the three fingers.
She said, fuck you, Paul.
What do you know? Go back and sit behind your microphone. And I respect her for that.
That was a very, very bold.
Thank
move.
You, Jennifer Lawrence. But yeah, you think she's going to do any more Saturday Night Live skits where she makes fun of the Hunger Games again?
I'm sure she will.
She better learn her lesson.
Why? Was that bad last time?
Yeah, well, didn't she go in front and like basically just like make a mockery of her Hunger Games character?
Oh, I don't recall. That was like a year ago. Let's think. I don't remember what happened. Yeah, that sounds vaguely familiar.
I don't remember. The whole last year has been a blur.
Let me think about the last year. No, I don't remember.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember what happened between now and last week's show.
No, it seems like I can't remember anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I vaguely remember something like that, but I'm sure she will. She seems to have a pretty good grasp of her, place in Hollywood or just the whole, she's very meta about it. You know, yeah. she's like, I know who I am and it doesn't matter. Like, I am me and whatever.
I am me and you are you.
And Paul is Paul.
Some wise words, Jennifer Lawrence. Thank you.
I didn't earn this for nothing.
Anything in particular that kind of nags you about this movie? Like, maybe you didn't care for?
Yeah. Pete is kind of a whiny bitch. I mean, you know, it's like, God, every time.
Liam Hemsworth?
Like, no. That's the Josh Hutcherson guy.
I thought Liam Hemsworth was the Liam Hemsworth is the her Gale. Boyfriend.
Yeah, yeah, the guy back home.
Josh Hutcherson.
Hutcherson. Josh Hutcherson. I think that's his name. Hutcherson? Hutchinson?
Yeah.
Not going to work here anymore.
Yeah, you're right.
He's kind of a whiny bitch. It's like, I don't know. I mean, I get it, right? It's like, okay, you're just like thrust into these like, you know, giant political arena and also war arena.
Yeah.
And he's not like a fighter or anything, but God, it seemed like every new scene he was getting blown up or stabbed or like punched.
Seriously.
Like, God, either hurry up and die already.
Yeah. Dude. Katniss saves him in pretty much every scene.
Yeah, she's always saving him. Like,
you know, where's the pants around here, don't you, Peter?
I was kind of like,
why don't you go paint me a picture?
Why don't you go paint me a hand? I don't know. I kind of got a.
I prefer him in Journey 2, The Mysterious Island. I thought he that was really his
fantastic
breakout performance.
Yeah. His painting was way better than that movie.
It was truly amazing.
Yeah, he kind of started to get on my nerves a little bit. I was just kind of like, okay, dude, you're just pick, I don't know. You got to kind of like carry some of the weight of the movie or something. But you're just like.
Well, Katniss is the star. They got to build her up. She's a very female empowering role.
Yeah, no, I get it. But it was just, he was just getting on my nerves
so
after
if she's,
a while.
So if she's that, then he must be like, what, a male dis. Empowering a male deflating role.
He's a total deflation
deflated role. What's that, Mike?
I don't know what else. There was some just like minor things like that. But overall, I thought it was pretty damn good.
Yeah, there's a reason why it has an 89% on Rotten Tomatoes.
There's a reason why it's making $300 million.
This is one of those series, though, that I honestly, and this sounds silly, but I honestly didn't want to like. I feel like, you know, it's.
I'm above these stupid books.
Well, he's, you know.
I'm better than everyone.
Look at me. Well, I don't know. Like, the source material, like I said, I haven't read, but, you know, you hear about it and you hear about, you know, books, franchises like Twilight doing astronomic numbers.
Right.
And the whole tween genre. And again, you know, I can't speak to how well the books are written, but you kind of lump these together in that way. And you think, basically it's just, they're trying to print money by making these movies. And then when they turn out to be pretty good, you know, I'm pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. And you almost kind of feel like, well, good for them. You
know, I'll give it to them. Here's my $16. Yeah. It's ridiculously expensive now to go see movies.
Yeah, I'm glad we went early. We got an earlier show.
Was that cheaper?
It was
matinee?
Like matinee, I think, today.
Mine was only 20. Nice.
Yeah. The director that did this one, Francis Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
He also did I Am Legend.
Oh, yes. What's Will Smith?
I liked.
I did like I Am Legend.
There's a lot of people had qualms with the ending.
Oh, that was a good ending.
But, you know, whatever. That
was he didn't even stick to his guns. You know, too many to
them guns.
Too often, you know, Hollywood will cop out and do a.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he also did I Am Legend, the movie Constantine.
Oh, that was bad.
That was
with Keanu Reeves.
That was bad.
How did he get a chance to do another movie after that?
I don't know.
He must have got him on discount.
They let him keep his head,
Francis,
apparently.
Francis, we'll give you $30.
We'll give you $36.
To do the Hunger Games.
And then in 2011, he did the movie Water for Elephants.
Didn't see it.
Which I believe I saw it, and I believe I liked it. Yeah, it was a good movie.
You enjoyed those elephants.
You know me. I love elephants.
Any
look at this big elephant tattoo.
Oh my god! It's right in the center of his chest.
Right in the middle of my face. Other than that, though, he hasn't done anything really noteworthy. A lot of like TV stuff.
Any since we haven't read the books, and people listening may have. I mean, at the risk of sounding ridiculously stupid, any predictions with how the series will end up?
That's. Nah.
What will happen to Katniss?
I don't know. That's. I mean, so
will PETA live to paint trip another and fall arm another day? Yeah, to paint his own arm.
I don't know. That's a fun game. Maybe we can listen to this show next year and see what our predictions were when the movie comes out. All right. So obviously, just in case, whatever. Maybe possible spoiler alert. So she's on her way to
the Capitol.
No, District 13.
Oh, yes.
Right? Which I thought there wasn't a District 13. Or like that was
that's
the one
what
that
they want you to think.
That was the one that revolted or something?
That was the one that blew off the face of the earth.
Right. And now there's only 12, right? So now they're headed 12. To 13. Right. I guess that's probably where like the revolution people.
Be
revolution
awesome.
People, otherwise known as revolutionaries.
It'd be awesome if they get to District 13 and this somehow crosses over with the sci-fi film District 9 and there's a bunch of aliens.
Oh my god, look at them all with their cat food.
The prawns.
The prawns.
The prawns.
So let's see. So now she's pissed. I forgot why she was mad at the end of the
that
movie.
That should be the slogan for the next film. The Hunger Games.
Now she's
pissed.
Why? So she was like upset the very end of the movie, right? It was all, like just showed her face.
Yeah.
And she was like crying because of some news.
They have her sister.
Her sister.
Yes.
Right. That's
the
what
Capitol has taken her sister, but she's alive.
So she was crying and then she got mad.
And then
hell hath no fury, like a woman scorned for Sega.
Jennifer. yeah.
So let's see. She's got to go to District 13. She probably meets up with some of the other rebel people. Who have gone rogue.
They've all gone rogue.
I don't know. They got to plan some fancy schmancy way to take out the Capitol, right? Or Snow, President Snow, right?
Nukes.
I mean, nukes.
Nukes.
We're going to paint you to death.
Yeah.
PETA, get him.
Paint him like a nuke. Then drop PETA in the middle of the Capitol. He just yells. Watch he goes, boom!
Really blast.
Blasto.
Kabam.
That would work.
Yeah, so I don't know. What do you think?
I'm pretty sure Woody Harrelson will drink a lot.
He's got to die.
You think so?
Yeah.
He's dead.
He's going to have like a courageous moment and like sacrifice himself, I think. I think that's what's going to happen.
Cassie's looking over here like she knows. You know what? You have any predictions? Well, she's already read the books.
Yeah, she can't say anything. She's just smiling.
She's like, I know what happened.
She's like, you
end.
Guys are so dumb.
Yeah. Jennifer Lawrence dies. No, I'm trying to read her facial expressions.
So yeah, so, all right. So I think Woody Harrelson's character's got to die.
Okay,
because as of now, he's kind of been like more of a. He supports him, kind of, you know, and but he kind of is like, I'm just an alcoholic previous victor, and blah blah blah. But now he's like part of the revolution. We saw him, right? So I think he's gonna have to kind of take a step up character wise and make a. What we like to call in the game, the ultimate sacrifice. Whoa. In the podcast game, that's what
yes,
we call it.
Yes.
That's what we call it when you download the show.
Yeah, it's in the rules.
Make the ultimate sacrifice. Download our new episode. I think he's going to die.
What do you think they're going to do, though? They can't just do another Hunger Games. Like I think they've already established that the Hunger Games are over. You know, they can't just make a new games, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, right, you're right.
In the next two movies, there can't be another actual Hunger Games. So is this going to be like a war movie? Is this going to be like them like storming the beaches of the Capitol?
It's got to be, right? Because there's no more Hunger Games because the dome then got destroyed and they're off to the district. So President Snow probably knows.
I just don't see how they can stretch that out over two more movies. You know, because you have the people uprising in all the districts. You have all the like the stormtroopers are there.
Yeah, I was going to say that too. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of stormtroopers in this movie.
Yeah, all the bad guys working for the Capitol in the districts that are beating the hell out of everybody look like stormtroopers. Oh, now they've introduced the evil general guy who lashed.
Oh, he's Liam fucking Hemsworth. Evil.
So he's going to die somehow.
Yeah, who do you think is going to kill him?
Oh, it's got to be Katniss.
Or Liam Hemsworth, get his little, get his comeuppance.
Yeah.
Did you say I said comeuppance, you said up and comings. Mm-hmm. Between the two, he'll get it.
He'll get one of those things. Yeah. I think that Katniss, you know, will eventually take out Snow. And then there you go. And then she'll be the supreme ruler, and then she'll make new Hunger Games.
And she'll go, now we're going to have the other games. Different, though. Yeah, I don't know. Anything could happen, I guess.
Anything could happen. I mean, it's like it's a movie.
It's like they're following some sort of book. I don't know. They can do whatever they want. I don't care.
Okay. Well, you have Jake's blessing, Hunger Games. Francis, did he direct the first one?
No.
No, okay.
Who did direct the first one?
I did.
It was me.
I'd appreciate it if you could leave your comments out of my poor directing ability in the first movie.
Yeah, the first one has like an 84%, I think. So they're both garbage. Up there. They're both up there.
All right, well, I mean, unless you can think of anything else you really want to say about the movie, I mean, it's a summer blockbuster movie. It's doing well because it's actually good. It's
murdering the comp.
It's like $250 million it's made globally, I think.
Yeah,
now.
That's nuts.
Obviously, I mean, you know, people who are going to go see this movie are going to go see it regardless of our recommendation.
What?
But just, you know, just hear me out. We'll give it to you anyway.
I was under the impression nobody had seen a movie the last year because we weren't
people
doing
just
our show.
Waiting. Everyone's
standing in their house.
When will they be on again?
Oh, I can't.
I guess we could email them. No, probably not.
No, they didn't give out their address last time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was a good movie. I don't really have to. I guess that's, I think we've said this before in the show, like, a bad movie gives us a hell of a lot more to talk about.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes. I mean, obviously,
it's
more fun
to complain.
Yeah, it's a lot more fun to complain. This one, no, I thought it did, like I said, really good job of, like, pushing the kind of, like, commentary or story or whatever you want to call it of, you know, uprising and doing what you believe is right and you know, how one person can really change the system. And I thought that did a good job with that.
As long as you're really good with a bow and arrow.
As long. I always just like, all right, this movie and you know my qualms with X-Men First Class.
Oh, God.
But it seems like every time I watch that movie, I like it less and less. But we've talked about this before. I always think it's funny, the training montages.
Yeah.
Like the Hunger Games are in like a week, right? Yeah. And she's like, and she goes up to that like 90-year-old lady and she's like, she goes, if you can teach me how to make a fish hook like that, I'll teach you how to like use the bow and arrow or whatever. Yeah. And then she goes into the simulation and she's like, zoom, zoom, it's like murdering things with the bow and arrow. Like this 80-year-old lady's gonna learn anything.
No amount of teaching can you possibly give this old lady. She's never gonna be able to do that.
It was ridiculous.
I think any of the montages at all in these, they did that in the first one too. Everyone's all practicing and like waving their hatchets around. And it's like, what practice are you going to get in the next 2 days that's going to matter at all?
Possibly help you not get killed.
Yeah.
I would just, I don't know, drink lots of water or something. I mean, I would just like hydrate.
I would stay well hydrated.
I would say this is dumb. I'm going to go drink some water.
Katniss, would you like to go in the simulator? Actually, I'm going to have this Gatorade.
I mean, you guys aren't drinking Gatorade?
And I'm going to get at least 8 hours tonight. I don't know about you.
No, we're staying up. We're going to train. Or in X-Men First Class, we're going to do bench. Yeah. We're going to bench press. Yeah, you'll get real strong.
Oh, I do have one qualm.
What?
The super smart dude in this movie, and he created the coils to transmit electricity.
Where the fuck did he get the coils?
Where did he get, like, miles of like, copper wire, first of all? He just, like, his explanation for it was like, how do you know it's going to work? He's like, I invented it.
He's like, I made it.
How much time has elapsed since we've been on this island?
I don't know.
Like 45 minutes we've been here and he's made miles of coil.
I was wondering that too.
Yeah.
He's like, I made it or I invented it. It's like, well, what? Haven't you been like hiding from the poison fog and the tidal wave and the monkeys?
He's like, well, I've been over here in this building right here. You guys didn't see this?
I've been in the safe house.
Right next to me.
It's a big concrete safe room.
It's got all kinds of tools, rations.
Oh, okay. See, it's funny. Criticisms are kind of like a snowball once they start going. So,
anyway, this movie sucks.
This fucking movie. I thought the it's not really a spoiler because it doesn't really give anything away, but the the design of the Hunger Games level in this the one. Level. Well, the map. What do you call it?
The stage?
The terrain.
Yeah.
Like the moving clock thing.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
I was like, that's pointless, kind of.
It ended up being pretty stupid.
It's pretty pointless.
It probably went into more detail in the book, and it probably was better when you can actually, like, explain it.
Yeah, it was just like...
with more exposition.
And but... I hate shit like that in a movie when people just figure things out on the tiniest bit of evidence.
It's
like,
a clock.
Oh, wait.
This crazy woman saying TikTok over and over again. It's a clock.
Exactly. Like, and then not only do they put those, like, two and two together, like, by a giant leap,
yeah.
but then they base huge decisions on yeah. those facts.
Well.
Oh, this lady's saying TikTok, TikTok. Oh, it must be a clock. Okay. Here's what we're going to do. It's like, well, nobody else has a opinion, maybe, or you don't want to, like, consider other options. You're just going to, yeah. all the eggs in that basket, huh?
Okay. Yeah. I guess so.
So
there you go. If you twist my arm, that's my biggest complaint, is when you get to the nitty gritty of the things and, like, the way that they're, these people are actually trying to survive and kill each other is, I guess, a little silly. I mean, I guess you have to kind of take some leaps
right.
you know, believability if you're going to, like, pit these people together. Because honestly, if the Hunger Games happened in real life, it would be the most boring TV show ever.
It would be called People Hiding in Holes.
People,
yeah. That's what it would be called.
People Hiding in Holes, the 75th edition. Join us for week 3. Yeah, pretty much. I just hide the whole time.
I would definitely hide the whole time.
Yeah. I would find
you. Well, that on top of my bow and arrow skills.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that too. Okay, well, I don't really have anything else to add.
No, that's about it, man.
I would also recommend the movie. I would say see it in theaters because all your friends are, and you don't want to be left behind.
And you don't want to stay at home when your friends are out doing cool stuff with all the cool kids.
Mm-hmm. And my mom's seeing it too, so.
You don't want to be left at home with your mom. yeah, I'd say see it in theaters. I think it's good. It's a pretty great movie. I think you're right. It's like you almost kind of wanted to be like, a little tween movie, but
I
want to
hate it.
I think it's a pretty damn good movie.
Yeah. Well, Cinema Recon.
Better than Man of Steel. I'm just, actually, I think this might be better. I don't know. Let's not go there.
Cinema Recon likes Hunger Games.
Yay.
So there you have it. So we'll take a break. How about that? Are you exhausted? How's your voice now? I haven't talked at all since last show. This is the first time I've ever spoken. I've been a coffee table for the past year. So
no, I'm good. Yeah, let's take a break and come back and do a little bit of movie news.
Let's do that.
All right. Stay tuned on Cinema Recon.
I'm waking up to ash and dust. I wipe my brow and I sweat my rust. I'm breathing in the chemicals.
Now you can listen to Cinema Recon on iTunes.
Blah, blah, blah. I'm dumb. How do I do this?
Search for Cinema Recon under podcasts on iTunes.
The worldwide leader in all things sound.
The worldwide leader in everything in about 4 more years.
Yeah.
Basically, Apple will be replacing your brain.
Oh, God. We just might as well bow down to our new masters. All hail our new overlords.
Conform.
Conform.
You can take Paul and Jake with you wherever you go.
Boom, splash-a-laka.
Boom, splode-a-lotta.
Feel the fire where she walks. Lola Montez, so beautiful. Shady in the temper, damn. Blinding your eyes with a spider bang.
Hey, yep, we're back. You're still listening to Cinema Recon?
Hey, yep.
Yep. We're here, we're back, we're talking movies again. Back in front of the microphones, feels good.
Feels good. Feels like we were away for less than a year this time.
Yeah, it's like 300 days rather than 365 days. Oh, your dog is in my lap.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Hello.
Oh yeah, we got a dog. I forgot to mention that in my intro.
Where did the dog get you?
Well, you know, they kind of say you find each other. No, so, we got him.
Oh god, and he's licking my arm, and he's very friendly. This guy. So yeah, so we're back and we're having a good time talking to you about the Hunger Games. Gave you our review. We actually, as we were giving our review, Cassie was flailing her arms wildly in the background.
You're doing cartwheels.
Yeah,
and
yeah, apparently we really screwed up.
She was shooting fire extinguishers into the room.
Yeah. Well, after she put out the fire, then she told us that we got a few things wrong. Is that right?
That's right.
That is right.
Well, we didn't get them wrong because we don't get anything
more
wrong.
More so Jake
we
got them
purposely,
wrong.
Breaking news.
We purposely misstated some things.
Oh, yeah. That's what, so we wanted Cassie to come on so she could give her 2 cents. What exactly did we misspeak on?
So just a few things to clear up because, as always, Jake and Paul misconstrued a few things. Mm. When they were talking about how one of the victors was had the wire. And
yeah, that electrical coil.
Yeah, the electrical
coil. I happen to have 1,700 feet of this.
Yeah.
He didn't just happen to find it or make it right then and there. What happened was he was part of the rebellion, as were other victors, and the game maker himself placed it there to help them out.
See, I don't think that's apparent in the movie. What?
Your dog is a squeaky toy. That's awesome. Yeah. No, I think you have to kind of infer that, right?
See, I think now that she brings it up, maybe it's just something I completely overlooked, but I didn't, I had the thought you thought. I was like, why does he have this wire?
Well, why does she have a bow and arrow? There's,
but they
kill people there.
But they put the weapons out there, right? It makes sense that they would put weapons out for the contestants to get to help them fight, yeah. But it wouldn't make sense. It'd be like a bow and arrow, a sword, a knife, an axe, a spool of wire.
not just a spool. I mean, that's hundreds of yards of wire.
Yes, but don't forget that the game maker was in on them rebelling and getting Katniss out of that situation. So he could skew how the game was actually taking place to help her out and not make it as obvious so that President Snow finds him out in the making of it all.
I mean, I follow.
It makes sense now.
Yeah.
I think it was a little hard to follow during when it was revealed. He should have said, like, oh, I made this, and wink, wink, or made sure it was here, or I don't know.
He should have said something like to the effect of, like, hey,
the game maker gave this to me.
Not all weapons are sharp. Or, like, you know, or like, you're like not everything that they supply us with can stab or kill.
And not all people who are watching the movie will be sharp enough to understand what is happening here.
Zing.
Not everyone will follow this plot point. And then he looked at us, looked at the screen, and was like, look, I'm looking at you, Paul and Jake.
And I was in the bathroom at the time. So I don't know what your excuse is, Jake.
Well, and then he said, I'll wait.
And the movie waited. That was my favorite part, actually. So we got something else wrong, though, right?
Yeah, the other thing to clear up was at the very end of the movie, when Katniss was so angry. Yeah, she was pissed. She wasn't pissed because her sister Prim was at the Capitol. She was pissed that they did not save Peeta. In fact, Gale, hot, sexy Gale.
Wait, what?
Hot, sexy Gale.
The crazy, the screamy chick.
No.
The one that took her top off.
No, hot, sexy Gale is a dude.
The guy.
Hemsworth. Oh, my mistake.
Right? Liam Hemsworth?
Yeah, Liam Hemsworth.
Oh, okay.
Right. So Gale was able to escape District 12 and rescue Prim and Katniss's mom. That's what they were trying to tell you. So she was pissed because they were supposed to save Gale as well. Or not Gale, I'm sorry. Peeta. But they were unable to.
Okay, so we don't know where Peeta is.
Peeta is in the Capitol. Because President Snow has Peeta.
They scooped up everybody. They canceled the game and they scooped up everybody.
Right. Okay. Only they were able to rescue Katniss.
Okay. Okay.
So, sorry. Just to clarify.
I guess now that we're talking about it, I'm a little confused about how in the day and age of the Hunger Games where there's a lot of like monitoring going on, right, and stuff. How was the game maker able to just hijack a super duper helijet and like go and swoop in and pick up Katniss without President Snow knowing what the fuck the shit was?
What the fuck the shit was? Answer that, Cassie.
Yeah, answer that, smartass.
Yeah, the shit that the fuck shit, whatever you want to say.
Mouth on her.
I know. Jeez, mom. Jeez. I'm sorry. I apologize now for the profanity. Well,
you
there
were
was
warned,
a,
mother.
A lot going on in all the other districts. I'm sure he was not so concerned about what was happening right then. I mean, they annihilated entire districts. All the districts were rebelling. It was the uprising.
So in the chaos.
In the chaos, yeah, they got away.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. I mean, whatever. But I just thought that was a little odd to me. I was like, how are they rescuing him? The President Snow, he was watching as the whole system went down. He knows what's going on. It's like, And plus, wouldn't he know if one of his jets has gone missing or something? Like, it looks like these are jets specifically for the Capitol, right. You know, or like, you know, obviously for the president or the president's, like, wouldn't he know? I just kind of figured he would know. But now I would assume he does know, right? So the game maker and Woody Harrelson, they all got away. But now the president knows, like, now you're a rebel, you're a rebel.
That sounds like a song.
You're a rebel, you're a rebel. rebel. Okay.
You're all in trouble now. So just to clarify.
I'm glad we cleared that up. Yeah. I appreciate that.
No problem.
I mean, you know, keeping you honest. It takes a big man to admit that Jake's wrong.
Takes an even bigger one of whatever.
All right.
Well, thanks for having me, guys.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Take your squeaky toy. And
that's awesome.
Bye, guys.
All right. See you later. Thanks, Cassie.
Bye, babe.
So there you have it. Our review of the Hunger Games. Amended. Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's the footnotes.
It's good. It's nice. If Mike was doing his job, he would have told us all the things we got wrong.
Sorry, guys.
But as per the usual in this show, we move on from our movie review and lots to talk about in the movie news. So
day by day from the entire year.
Yeah. Every single piece of news. And feel free, you know, if there's anything in particular that you want to jump in with from the past year, I think is important. But I have a few tidbits from just recently in the past week.
Yeah, fire away. Let's go recent to old.
Recent to old. Okay, so, well, first of all, we mentioned at the beginning of the show, it's just happened. It's kind of a shock to everyone. Paul Walker was killed in a car accident last evening, right? Or last afternoon.
Last yesterday.
Yeah, last yesterday.
The day before you.
Dead at 40, he was. And just as his career was catching fire, I guess you could say.
To use a pun from the movie we just saw. Yeah.
But yeah, because you were telling me that not only were they, you know, they're releasing Fast and Furious 7, but...
I think 6. I think they're...
Oh, this is released, 6 coming out?
If I remember correctly what I read, I forget which one they're releasing or are going to release or they're filming or whatever. I think number 6 or 7... I think it's 7. So I think... Okay. Let me start over. Try this again. So I think in an interview with him, they had said the studio wants him to do, you know, number 7. It's pretty much a go. Like, it's a green light. Well, not right at this point, but
yeah,
it's a green light for number 7. And then he was saying they want to basically consider options for 8, 9, and 10. So
wow.
If he would still be alive, and it would look like this would probably go on for at least another 3 movies, up to Fast and the Furious 10.
It's too bad. I mean, you know, and we joke around on the show, but in all seriousness, obviously our thoughts and prayers go out to he and his family and the other passenger that was involved in the accident as well, two of them in the car.
Yeah, it's sad.
But you know, especially when you see someone at the height of their career like that, he was in every single one, wasn't he? Every single Fast and Furious?
I have no idea.
I'm pretty sure he was.
But, what about the Tokyo Drift one? Was he in that? I don't think he was in that.
Maybe not. That was I don't know. Kind of the spin-off one. That was when the series kind of dipped.
I think so. And then they brought him back. And then him and Vin Diesel basically were like, boom, let's do this.
Yeah, it's funny. The series went nuts when Vin Diesel's career like tanked kind of.
Not
really,
shit.
Yeah. And so he was, because he was too big to be in the sequels, right?
Too big, too fast, too big.
And then after he didn't really do much for a while, they were like, okay, well, he can come back and do this. All right. Well, you know, sad bit of news, but again, it just happened. We don't even have any details on, you know, whether alcohol was involved.
Looks like he was just driving fast and crashing. Yeah. Just wrapped it around a tree or something, but I'm curious what that means for the franchise, you know, as a whole, because, you know, he's obviously one of the central characters, you know, him and, what's his name? Vin Diesel, like the two main characters. So, yeah.
I don't know. Did you see the last movie? Was there like any cliffhanger with him in plot points?
I don't know. I mean, well.
I'm sure we'll mention this more as, you know, well, yeah, coming weeks.
It'd be interesting. Are they done filming the? Because I'm pretty sure they were in the mix of either.
I thought one was in the tank right now. It's like ready to go.
Right. Well, I don't know if it was. That's what I'm saying. I wonder if they were still filming or if that's done. Because I know I've been seeing some like set photos and shit like that. You know, like with like The Rock and everybody like that. But yeah, what does that do to your movie? Like what
when an actor
dies? As a studio?
Well, look. You know, this is look what happened to Heath Ledger in The Dark Knight. You know, I think that was at the tail end of production too.
Well, let's say you're 50% through a movie.
Yeah.
And your lead actor dies. I'm sure, do you have insurance?
Brandon Lee in The Crow.
Right, right.
Same thing happened. They actually had to they
doubled him in, right?
Yeah, for much of the I think like something like 20% of the footage they had left to shoot, and they still when he was killed. On
but
set.
I mean, what do you do if you can't do that, right? Let's just say he's just you can't.
Movie's canceled.
That's it. You write it off. It's a write off. Just done. Do you have like movie?
I don't know what you do, or you go back and reshoot with a new actor.
I guess.
In those scenes.
Does.
I mean, movie wouldn't be canceled. I mean, the amount of money that's involved in those projects. I mean, even if the lead actor was to bail.
Do they have like an insurance policy?
Sure.
Well, I mean, no, I was going to say like on like the movie, you know what I mean?
You're on
like,
the actors too. I'm pretty sure the
right.
Pretty sure the film studios have insurance policies on the actors.
Oh yeah.
As well.
No, they definitely do. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That sucks. Yeah. I mean, they were, you know, as much as a lot of people make fun of them, you know, the Fast and the Furious movies. They were actually a pretty, like cultural.
I love the first one.
Oh yeah,
I saw the first one in theaters and loved it.
They're fun movies, you know, and like I think I don't remember which numbers, but you know they start to get pretty cookie cutter after a while. Yeah. But the characters are cool and it's just fun. But I mean, I guarantee the and actually I'm almost sure positive this is you know a true fact, not a Cinema Recon fact,
not
but,
one of those
but
not,
a real one,
not true facts.
I'm pretty sure, like, the purchases of imported cars like that took a noticeable tick up just because of this movie. You know what I mean? Like, people, like, shit like that happens, right? Like, Top Gun comes out, and the military had, like, a wave of enlistments in the Air Force.
Sale of F-16s went through the roof.
So, I'm sure, like, you know, like, people were, and I know they were, like, souping up their cars, and, you know, it was, like, a thing. Like, people were into it. It was like translated into real life, kind of like, oh, I'm going to make a fast car.
I've never been a big car guy.
No, I mean, I don't know anything about
cars. Yeah, I don't. As far as I'm concerned, they operate by magic.
It's just, I open the hood and it's just pixie dust under
there. Pretty much.
Swirling about.
Which is really sad. If I was stranded somewhere and like, my life depended on me fixing my car.
I couldn't.
I'm admittedly clueless.
Yeah, I know the very basics. Yeah. Anymore though, the new stuff is a lot of, like the computer chip. It's like, what's wrong with the car? It's like, I don't know. It's the computer.
Check the computer.
Check. It's in the computer.
Ask the car.
Xbox. What's wrong with my car?
All right. Well. Anyway, let's move on to our next tidbit.
Yeah. Sorry, Paul Walker. This sucks.
Yeah. This is something you've been following and I as well in the upcoming Chris Nolan film. We're both Chris Nolan fans.
Interstellar.
That's right. Interstellar is...
They might use that, I heard.
Wait, the whisper?
Yeah, the one I just did.
Oh, for the movie itself?
Yeah, they might use that.
That's the trailer?
That's
it? It's going to be like the word Interstellar written in crayon on the big screen in the near voice. Coming soon. Interstellar is going to get a trailer, possibly attached to The Hobbit, Desolation of Smaug.
Not possible.
It's definite.
It's going to happen.
All right. Well, we'll get to see
Smaug.
Smaug. I just like saying Smaug.
Smaug.
We're going to see a glimpse of Chris Nolan's upcoming film. What do you know much about it? All I know is it's they figure out a way to open wormholes.
So
and the movie's like an exploration type film.
The
I just hope it's not like Prometheus.
Oh, it's so draining to think about that movie. I watch it. It's like one of those ones I watch on HBO every time I see it on there or whatever.
Did we do a Cinema Recon on Prometheus?
Sure, we had to have. There's no way we didn't. It was such.
Are you sure?
I will check right now. Okay. We did. I guarantee
this is how
we
bad
did.
My memory is.
I am searching the interwebs of our website,
www.cinemarecon.com. We did. Yeah, we did.
We did. Because we probably just cried for 3 hours.
It was 3 hours of us bawling.
Man, I sound like a baby. This is Paul.
I said this about Prometheus, and I'll say it about Interstellar. It can't be bad, right? Right? I mean, it's Chris Nolan.
All right. Well, okay. So, I know we did one for Prometheus. So Interstellar, the line is like. You know, space explorers test the boundaries of human explorations when they go through a wormhole to discover blah, 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 blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
And then there was something that kind of leaked out. And, you know, with everything, you have to take it with a grain of salt because you don't know if it's true or not. But there was something that leaked that saying the plot could somehow have something to do with corn.
What?
You didn't hear this?
No.
Oh, yeah, dude. So some
Interstellar?
So, yeah.
Space corn?
So, space corn. Scorn.
Scorn. Blah.
So people were hypothesizing that, you know, maybe the Earth is doomed and you can't grow any crops on it, so we have to, like, start, you know, like, travel to space to find a planet we can, you know, either live on or harvest from.
Motivation by corn.
Motivation by corn.
Exactly.
I didn't have anything.
Exactly. Well, I mean, but it can't be bad. I keep saying that, but it's Chris Nolan. Listen to the cast. You know, Matthew McConaughey, Anne Hathaway, Jessica Chastain, Casey Affleck, Matt Damon, and Michael Caine.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
That's crazy.
But that's what we said about Prometheus. Yeah. Look at the cast. Rudy Mara, yeah. Mike Fassbender. So the line is, a group of explorers make use of a newly discovered wormhole to surpass the limitations on human space travel and conquer the vast distances involved in an interstellar voyage.
Bum, bum, bum.
So here's what I'm worried about.
Pollution? Global warming?
I'm worried about. I know nothing about a car. My car broke down. Okay. Chris Nolan's record is pretty stellar, right?
Yeah, I would agree.
It's almost like he's due for a bad movie, right? It's like how? Okay, so his director list is as follows: the
blah, blah,
following, blah. Memento, Insomnia. I didn't really care for Insomnia that much, but a lot of people
did. I think a second viewing is deserved, because I didn't like it in theaters, and I saw it again, and it's
really
pretty, it's pretty good.
Okay. Memento, Insomnia, Batman Begins, The Prestige, which is like, God, I love that movie. I love The Prestige. I love that movie. That movie is so awesome. The Dark Knight, so the good one with Heath Ledger. Inception, which is freaking fantastic, even as just a conceptual movie. It's amazing. Dark Knight Rises and then Interstellar. So I was thinking about it the other day because I was watching The Dark Knight Rises.
Mm-hmm.
That movie kind of it isn't that good.
That movie for me is kind of like your X-Men First Class, I think.
Yeah.
The more I watch it, the less I like it.
Yeah, I was watching it yesterday or the day before. And it's just kind of not that good. And I think a lot of the hype is riding off of the Batman franchise or whatever, but
some people say, like, oh, how can you follow The Dark Knight? Well, you can't, but it still isn't that good.
No. Yeah. I think looking at, you know, his track record here, Chris Nolan, it's
time.
It's overinflated. I think the Dark Knight Rises is, you know, I think it's like the hype is overriding the fact that I don't think Batman, The Dark Knight Rises is really that good of a flick. But I won't go into what I think about it now. But I was just watching, and I was like, you know, this isn't that great. There's a lot of things wrong. There's a lot of things wrong. There's a lot of things that don't make a whole lot of sense. It's overdone. It's a little much for what it needs to be. And even like a lot of the and I've had a problem with this since the first Batman, the Tumbler. There's a lot of like scenes where the Tumbler is like shooting stuff or whatever.
Yeah.
And the explosions just look like, I don't even know how to describe it. I'll have to like show you or something. But
you know what drives me crazy and doesn't make any sense at all is how the Batpod, you know, the motorcycle,
the wheels turn.
How do the wheels turn like that? I was watching it with some. I think I was watching it with a friend of mine. And
I can just see you sitting there hammered.
And this
doesn't make sense.
Why are the wheels turning that way? And, I need some popcorn.
I need some gummy bears.
Yeah, I do. It doesn't make any sense. If you go back and watch it, there's no way the wheels could turn like that.
Yeah, I don't get it either. How do they do that?
And then still turn the other way.
How do they turn all the ways?
It bothers me.
Well, I don't know. How would they even turn? So once the wheel got, like, horizontal,
right,
wouldn't it just fall?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. It would fall off. It doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't.
It should have been just spheres, and then it would make some sense.
Orbs. She should have just been riding a unicycle. That would have been better.
She's in one of those, like, Red Riders. Like little wagons.
But anyways, Dark Knight, yeah, whatever. But so Interstellar, you know, again.
Maybe this will make up for Prometheus.
I hope so. Because you know from Inception that conceptually he can think very large and very complicated movies. Well, and he can translate them to the screen. So
Inception, I mean, it's not the look, it's not like you don't have to be a genius to get Inception, but there's a lot going on there.
Well, it helps. No, Inception, I remember when I saw that movie, I was overthinking it. And it was very easy to get confused in that movie.
Well, yeah, there was a lot of hype behind that movie, too.
Right, right. But I mean, just like the actual plot of the movie in terms of what's actually happening. I remember I was like overthinking it, and I was like, all right, what's going on here, really? And then I was just like, okay, dream within a dream within a dream, and this level.
And then you woke up.
And then I woke up, and.
And you were dreaming.
And Leonardo DiCaprio was. No. Yeah. But I hope Interstellar is good, man. It sounds awesome. And there's.
I hope so too.
There's so much hype around Chris Nolan movies because of the high level of secrecy that he keeps around them. And it makes it makes it that much more interesting because in this day and age, you can't keep things a secret.
It's nearly impossible.
It is.
You have like set photos leak and plot lines also leaked on the internet. But I mean, there was a lot of hype. I mean, he was already, you know, well established when Inception was coming out, and it was his new film outside the Batman franchise, and that had a lot of hype, and it turned out to be great.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Yeah. We both hope it's going to be wonderful.
I told Paul, you know, I'm not the hugest fan of you know, the Lord of the Ring and the Hobbit movies and stuff. I just think they're kind of it's just a little much for me.
I'm sorry.
But I told him, this is going to go get me to see Desolation of Smaug.
Anything I can get him to come see Desolation of Smaug with me.
I'll go see that with you. I'll go see Desolation of Smaug.
I can't wait till you and I go see Desolation of Smaug.
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 You know what doesn't look good?
The great segue.
There's a trailer in the Hunger Games, one of the 27 trailers.
Oh, God.
Prior to Hunger Games and Jake was like, Paul, we got to talk about this on the show. Rarely does a movie come along that just looks like such a bad idea that I, Frankenstein, is with Aaron Eckhart being released by the producers of the Underworld series.
And now it all makes sense.
It looks like they're trying to make the Frankenstein monster into a Van Helsing action hero, which doesn't make any sense to me. It looks just terrible.
And why do they always have to call him Frankenstein? Why do they have to fuck that up?
He's Frankenstein's monster. It doesn't make any sense.
Why can't they just name him like Steve or Brad?
Steve F.
This is Steve the monster. Hi, guys.
It'd make more sense than calling him Frankenstein, but I guess...
It would. It would make him complete more sense.
Yeah. But yeah, the movie just looks like a cartoon, basically.
Every time I see a movie like this, and I see like a pretty big name attached to it, like Aaron Eckhart, who is, I think, a pretty amazing
Bill Nye is actor. In this movie.
Yeah. I feel like somebody pulled a complete bait and switch on them.
I feel bad for them. No, I don't. I
watch
this movie and I just imagine the enormous dump truck of money that parked on his front lawn and just dropped not just piles of cash, but those sacks of cartoon like dollar signs on the front of
with
money.
Coins.
Yes, gold coins just landed on his front porch. He's like
DuckTales money,
and he walks out. He's like, "Yeah, okay, I'll do I Frankenstein."
Yeah, I'll do that stupid.
This is a great
movie.
Idea. It was a lovely script. I couldn't put it down.
It's delightful.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was 5 pages long.
It's just scribbles
and whooshing noises.
There's like exclamations from like a comic. Pow!
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't feel bad for him at all. He's good. I mean, hey, Aaron Eckhart's kids got to eat.
Got to eat bars of gold?
Yeah.
It's funny because about halfway through the trailer, which is just a big pile of crap, is, you know, it flashes on the screen, from the producers of Underworld. And I'm like, now it makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's exactly what this looks like. Just a big, let's get the screen as dark as we can until you can kind of see what's going on. And then... Let's have 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, yeah. 90 monsters fighting on the. It's just like, oh my God. Just a big cluster.
Cluster of messy CGI.
And now Frankenstein's monster is buff and he's just like, yeah, we could fight people. It's like, what are you doing?
Frankenstein is rolling in his grave.
He's rolling in his.
They're not doing the true story of Frankenstein justice.
It just looks so bad.
I can't wait till we go see it.
I know. Poor Aaron Eckhart. I think he's great. I think this is so below him.
Yeah, it is.
I really do feel like somebody pulled the bait and switch. I mean, like, you know, I don't know, man. Just poor guy.
Oh, poor him. Poor guy. Can I borrow some money? So, we also had some, speaking of movies we're unsure of, more villains. As if some villains weren't enough, more villains are now rumored to be in Amazing Spider-Man 2. We just saw a new poster that was released that shows, I think, Rhino, and it shows Electro, and it shows what looks like Hobgoblin, or maybe Green Goblin.
Green Goblin, I think, is what it said, but...
And then they're also...
Who knows? There's a lot of goblins.
There is a lot of goblins. And then there's one of those meta-type websites. There's actually the Daily Bugle. Is it Daily Bugle in the Spider-Man universe? Yeah, I think so.
Oh, yeah.
There's a website that does, like, kind of, like, meta fake news articles. And in it, there was an article for a bank heist and said the robber shocked the hinges off the safe door.
That happened?
I think that's according to this website. And if I've learned anything from the internet, it's all true. Apparently that people are now jumping to the conclusion that there's going to be another villain, old Spider-Man villain, the Shocker, which I wasn't really familiar with in the comics. Were you?
Yes, I think so.
I guess he causes vibrations or what, I don't know what he does.
He would probably shock things.
I'm guessing. That's what he does. He shocks, I think he shoots fire from his hands.
I think he sings show tunes.
he fights Spider-Man with stern words. but there doesn't need to be this many villains in a movie.
They've already I think what's happening is
they're setting up Sinister Six.
Well, right. Well, I think what's happening is, you know, like every time you hear, oh, there was a casting call for this type of person, you know, so then you start speculating on what villain that might be, you know, based on the character's description. And
yeah.
Then you see like, oh, well, you know, this little tidbit was on set, which means blah, 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 blah.
But I think blah, blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah, blah. I didn't read that one. But, you know, I think you got to remember that a lot of these movies, you know, they set things up for like three movies down the road.
Yeah.
So when it's like,
yeah.
Because I know a lot of the articles were starting to say, like, holy shit, Spider-Man 2, you need to calm down the amount of villains you're going to have in your movie if this is, you know, if these things we've been seeing is any precedent of how many villains you're going to have. But more likely than not, a lot of them are just going to kind of be, like, slight nods to those villains, and they'll show up in two movies. You know what I mean? Like,
that would be nice.
All going to be in this movie.
Well, that's good.
Because already it's going to be a bloated piece of shit.
Well, you didn't like the first one, right?
No.
No.
Watched the first one and you just go, didn't I just see this years ago?
All that aside, I thought it was okay, but it was pointless.
Yeah, okay. I agree. All that aside, I still just thought this is just an okay movie.
Okay movie, okay.
And the poster they released, if this little mechanized suit is going to be the Rhino.
Oh, that's silly.
That's bad.
Well,
that's bad news.
Yeah, Paul Giamatti's playing the Rhino, and you know Paul Giamatti doesn't exactly strike me as
a Rhino
action star
as an animal.
Yeah, he doesn't look like a Rhino in the least bit. But I guess all those scenes that they've leaked with him like on set have been in like a mocap suit or like a suit specifically that's going to need CGI added to it. And so that poster shows
because he doesn't have a horn in real life.
You're right, right. So, at least not a very big one.
Let's ask Mrs. Giamatti.
I was waiting for that. And I guess, in the comics, he was just a guy, he looked like a rhino, right? He's in a rhino suit.
Yeah, what was the deal with him in the comics? It was like an enhanced suit or something?
He was a big dude and he wore like a gray suit.
That's fucking stupid. Is that all he was in the comics?
I think so.
No.
I think so.
No, because it was like bulletproof and stuff, right? Yeah, Google it.
I'm going to Google that.
Because if that's all it was, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of.
Well, it looks pretty ridiculous now. Now it looks like Transformers is attacking Spider-Man.
So, yeah, that's funny. So, I had this, I kind of had this complaint starting with like Iron Man 2, and then it carried over into what I hoped it wouldn't, but it did carry over into Iron Man 3. Paul is now turning his laptop to show me a picture of, I think it's supposed to be the Rhino. Turn the screen down. That's the glare. Oh,
it's a guy in a suit.
But the suit was like something special, right? It wasn't just, it's not just like made of cotton. Like,
it's a cotton, it's just a polyester build.
Well, look at that picture down there. That's pretty cool. For all of our viewers.
Look at all the pictures we're looking at. I mean, yeah, But it still is a guy in a suit.
Okay, Google, does it do anything?
Does your suit do anything? I can't wait to see what pops up when I put in Google. Does it do anything?
Does Paul Giamatti's big horn do anything?
Why don't you ask Mrs. Giamatti?
Zing. You know, so I had this complaint, Iron Man 2. I was hoping it wouldn't happen with Iron Man 3, but I knew it was good news. And then it continued into the new Wolverine movie. And I won't spoil it for you because I know you haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it, yeah.
But it's not really a spoiler, but
okay.
The overuse of robots in all these Marvel movies and stuff. Like Iron Man 2 had all the mechanized drones that Mickey Whiplash was controlling. Iron Man 3, I really hope they would have laid off it, but you know, Tony Stark had like 8 or 10 or 20 Iron Man suits and they were all flying around everywhere. And then in Wolverine, the end, he fights the big samurai, which is more or less just a giant mechanized
Silver Samurai?
Silver Samurai. But
it's a robot?
To me, it basically just looks like another giant Iron Man kind of suit.
Oh.
And I'm like, and if this is true and what we're seeing for this Spider-Man poster where the Rhino's suit is just a mechanized suit, I'm just really kind of thinking I think the robot suit thing is really overstayed its welcome in the kind of Marvel universe. I'm like, you guys need to get kind of something else, you know, or hold it back a little bit. Cause there's too much of it to where it's not cool anymore. It's like, I get it.
You know what they need? Zombies.
Yeah, that's not overdone. Anyways, okay. This movie will suck anyways.
Yeah, we'll see it. I'm sure.
Can't wait.
All right. Moving right along.
Moving right along.
I had this also listed. I don't think you knew about this one. Christoph Waltz has been rumored as eyeing a villain role in one of your favorite franchises, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh God, who
was this? Five Pirates
cares?
Of the Caribbean. Five.
I'm swearing a lot. Sorry. Who cares though? Who cares? Seriously, who cares?
This has got to be the longest title ever, too. Pirates of the Caribbean: Dead Men Tell No Tales.
Oh my God, no one wants any tales from you anymore. Where's the rum? Oh, eyeshadow. Shut up.
That is an excellent impression of eyeshadow. I've never heard eyeshadow verbalized.
Well, you know, personification at its best.
It's good. It's good. Eyeshadow. I like Christoph Waltz.
He's amazing. I hate the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
I never saw the newest one.
There's a reason for that. Yeah. Because they're just getting all the same. When you do this many movies, yeah. How do you make them different? Really? I mean, come on.
Nah,
it's just the same shit. It's just like over and over. And that's one of my complaints about like the Lord of the Rings movies and stuff. And, and maybe it's because I haven't, you know, sat and really.
Have you ever actually sat and watched the Lord of the Rings movies?
I think I saw the first two in theaters or something. I want to say, but
yeah, you saw the first one with me actually.
But so I was watching the what's the first Hobbit one? Journey or.
What did they call it?
Hobbit Unexpected Journey.
Unexpected Journey.
Right? Or is that the third one? No, Desolation of Smaug.
Smaug.
And I was watching it. And it was like, they would do one thing, and then they would like fall down a well into like a big like orc den, and then have to fight off like 1,000 orcs on this little adventure. And then they'd be like good thing we got out of that. And then they'd turn around, and there were some big trolls, and they'd fight them, and it's just like...
It's a roller coaster ride.
It's just... But it's endless. I was getting tired. I was like, I'm tired of watching this. Where's the story stuff?
They're stretching out The Hobbit into three movies. And the first movie, admittedly, is not better. It's not as good as the Lord of the Rings books. Or the Lord of the Rings movies, rather.
Right. But
it feels a little stretched out.
That's how I feel about the Pirates of the Caribbean. It's
really stretched out.
It's like, it's just the same shit. You're just doing the same stuff.
I really like the first one. The very first Pirates of the Caribbean was a fun time.
Right. No, I agree. And then you have five more movies them. And it's like, oh my God.
So just crammed it down your throat.
So he's eyeing a villain role.
Yeah, Christoph Waltz. Bad guy in Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah.
Well. I just want to get your feelings on that.
Yeah, well, fuck him.
I hope he dies. Him and Aaron Eckhart fuck themselves.
They can go race their dump trucks full of money.
You know, I watch this and I can't help but feel sorry for him. How about this? Quentin Tarantino says his next film will be a Western.
Saw that, but not
unrelated to Django.
Not a Django.
Did you ever watch Django?
Did. I liked it.
I love Django.
Yeah, and I remember you didn't think I was gonna like it a lot because I'm not a huge Tarantino fan. When he does like the super like meta type stuff, like not meta, when it's like
he's basically winking at the camera.
Yeah, yeah. When he's jerking off and being like, "I am Quentin Tarantino."
I mean, that's pretty much all like me movies. You kind of gotta get on board with a little of that and all of Quentin Tarantino's
movies. You do. Yeah. But I think it was less prevalent in Django. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I think Django was a really good true to form for him. Straightforward, well shot, excellent soundtrack.
It was badass. Yeah, it was 25 minutes too long, but it was badass.
Ooh, no, I liked it.
It was 20 minutes too long.
It was a long
15
movie.
15 minutes too long.
All right, give me 12. Give me 12.
12 minutes.
I thought it was great. But him doing a Western, I mean, if it's, you know, he showed he can do a Western with Django. I don't know if I like him when he jumps around into different genres, but, you know me, I'm a big Quentin Tarantino fan. So.
Yeah.
Only movie I think of his that I didn't care for was Kill Bill 2.
I don't like any of the Kill Bills.
I really like the first one.
I hope if he does a Western, it's just, you know, I hope he does it more in the vein of Django, where it's just, you know, it's still his style. And there's no getting around that, right? Yeah. It is a Tarantino film. But not that's serious, but I hope he shoots it, you know, in the more serious kind of like light, like Django, where it's not over the top winking at the camera, like you're saying. I hope he does that.
Well,
you know, frames it like that and not like the other movies, which are just like, come on, dude. Like
he tends to shoot his movies almost when he does different genres, he shoots them as like kind of an homage to that particular genre. And so Kill Bill, if you watch any kung fu movies, you know, they're way over the top. People can fly. People are basically
scared. Not in the kung fu movies I watch.
I mean, I don't watch kung fu movies, so I just know that that's kind of a state.
I'll be honest with you. I've never seen people fly in a kung fu movie.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Oh, yeah, bro.
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
But that's not like an homage. That's like a recent movie.
No, that is in the genre. That is one of those movies, right? And people can like defy gravity in kung fu fighting films.
You know who could do it in real life?
You?
Bruce Lee.
Bruce Lee could fly. A lot of people didn't know that.
Put his hands in. Whee!
Yeah. Oh, I'm thinking of a bird.
No, that's not Bruce Lee.
But no, he tends to shoot within the genre itself and kind of, and then plays up those like, not stereotypes, but like the cliches in those genres, to an interesting angle, I think. And in Kill Bill, it was just way over the top, very gory, very blood spurting everywhere, people flying. And then you have, you know, your, some of the other genres he's done. I mean, he's done the ultra gore. He's done with,
Well, there's Reservoir Dogs.
Grindhouse he did for the...
Oh, Grindhouse. God, what a piece of shit.
You didn't like that, huh?
No, I thought
it was an interesting little... I didn't think it was terrible.
Really?
Yeah.
It's just so... That's the exact type of stuff that I do not like.
Okay. No. I mean, one of my favorite movies of all time, I think a lot of people's, is Pulp Fiction, Reservoir Dogs.
Well, yes.
But then, Jackie Brown, kind of the blaxploitation kind of movie. I mean, he plays up a lot of those kind of stereotypes in that film as well. If he does a Western, you're gonna probably see a lot of like, I don't know. I don't know what he'll do. That's part of the reason why I like
probably a lot of dirt.
Tarantino. You'll see a lot of dirt, a lot of maybe like, you know, sunsets, horses, maybe
hats,
maybe
scarves. Be in the
movie. I'm sure there'll be some chaps as well. Anyway, I'm excited. Moving on.
I'm less excited.
not moving on. Friday the 13th is going to be reboot.
Yeah, I'll let you talk about this one.
Well, I want to hear what you think as well.
I don't fucking care.
It's being rebooted. I'm just kidding. They're rebooting Friday the 13th, and they actually set a release date, March 13th, which I'm guessing is Friday the 13th, 2015.
It's actually a Thursday.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding.
So I really like horror movies. I really like the slasher films.
Yeah.
Especially. And Friday the 13th was just reboot, like what, in 2009?
Well, it wasn't. So here's where Hollywood is like cannibalizing on itself. It's like they didn't reboot it in 2009, I don't think. It was like a retelling. It was
reimagining?
Wasn't it more like a standalone, just kind of reimagined? They didn't make another one to did they?
That's kind of what a reboot is.
Was that the one Rob Zombie directed or some shit?
No, that was the Halloween movies.
Halloween. I always get those confused.
No, Friday the 13th is Jason. Halloween is Michael Myers.
Don't they both just have masks?
They both have masks.
And axes.
One is William Shatner's mask. And the other one is the hockey mask.
Yeah, but don't they both just have masks and
the other
axes?
One is a, yeah. And it was a gas axes? Mask.
No, wait. No. wait. Who? Which one's Freddy Krueger?
That is Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
Which are also good.
Yeah, those movies are fucking creepy, dude.
they're a fun time. But Friday the 13th is I think one of my favorites.
So this is, sorry, the villain is who again?
This is, now you got me saying Freddy. This is
Jason.
Correct.
Voorhees.
Voorhees. I think you're watching the porn parody. Yeah. So they've done, this will be the 13th film in the franchise. Oh, so talk about like.
That's pretty cool.
Doing things.
I guess.
Over and over and over again. The thing about horror movies.
Talk about doing them over and over and over again 13 times.
Yeah. The thing about horror movies though is, like, we talked about this before, is I can watch, slasher films and, you know, we go through the same tropes in every single movie, I can see them
he's in the shower. He's in the shower.
Yeah, but that's great. I love a good kill scene.
I love a good murder.
And
as much as the next guy.
Yeah, I feel like a little kid waiting for this next one now to come out. I'm excited.
I feel like a little kid waiting for the next murder.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. Even if you're not.
I'm not.
Yeah, I know.
No, I will.
I'm the horror guy.
I'm the one big giant slut. I mean, I like horror movies.
Yeah. But, I was excited. I heard, you know, it's funny. The reason that Friday the 13th is even going to get rebooted and can even be released now is because there was some sort of,
like rights or something.
Yeah. Some sort of copyright issue or copyright. It was some sort of rights issue with,
copy wrong.
Yeah. Whoever held the rights to Friday the 13th, had to have them released or bought out. But it's funny when they bought, the Friday the 13th franchise, the rights to the South Park film. It's also been
they were like included,
well.
Or
yeah,
something?
It was like part of a package deal. Yeah,
package deal,
yeah.
Murder and comedy go hand in hand.
I apologize; I don't have the details right in front of me.
Well, don't apologize to me. Apologize to the listeners.
I'm sorry, all of you. One guy,
write him a letter.
I'm sorry, Matt. And I think that now, you know, obviously, you know, Comedy Central's Trey Parker, Matt Stone, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
They own the TV rights to South Park, but apparently they. The movie rights were distributed by Paramount. I mean, I could be way off on this. All I know is that now they're actually, whoever bought the rights to Friday the 13th is able to release a South Park movie if they so choose, and they can get one made.
I heard Jason's going to be dressed as Kenny this time. this movie.
I hadn't heard that. But yeah, so Friday the 13th, awesome.
Yeah, do you think that's kind of like along the lines of the Spider-Man's? It's like, why? Why do we really need this?
Why do we keep doing it? No, I don't. I think you can always have. That's the difference between like rebooting like a Spider-Man and rebooting and just having like an annual franchise like in horror movies. I'm fine with that.
You gave them your permission.
Yeah, I'm totally fine with them like doing annual Saws or more paranormal activities, even though we all know they're going to get worse.
Speaking of Saws, are they done with those movies?
Yeah, Saws are done.
Okay.
They actually finished those off. I mean, When a film only costs like $10 million to make and it continues to make like $80 million, even though $80 million maybe for some films isn't a big triumph, for those movies it's a huge return. They'll continue to make them, but I think people just got really sick of those.
Well, I mean, what are you gonna do? I don't know.
Chop my legs off.
Well, put me in some sort of weird contraption.
But horror movies I can always watch. I can always watch, even though, you know, they can get rebooted, reimagined. I always think that's interesting.
Yeah. So. Yeah, whatever floats your boat.
Weirdo. Get out of my house. So that's all I had listed on the news, unless you can think of anything else you want to throw in, on the table.
The only thing I could think of top of mind would be I know we were talking about it in our, you know,
sleep.
Regular live in our sleep. You know, the anticipation for Pacific Rim, and I finally saw that.
Yeah,
and
you just saw it.
I wasn't impressed.
Oh, come on. Well, the thing was, it's more of a. I felt like that movie is more of a spectacle that should be seen in theaters.
So I agree, but I was impressed with the spectacle of it on my television because it's a nice one. It's a nice TV. I don't know if you know.
It's a little smaller than mine.
I just thought kind of just the acting and the plot was just, I was just
okay,
like,
the plot wasn't very good. Just, admittedly, the plot wasn't good.
And I also,
But
would like to.
I didn't go see that movie for plot lines. I went to go see giant monsters get beat up by giant robots.
Right. I just think if the acting could have been a little one or two notches up and the story a little better, it would have been a fantastic movie. I just thought it was all right.
I wish the robots had better dialogue.
I'm tired of fighting. I wish they would have talked out their problems.
Robots and the giant monsters sit down at a giant table with giant cups of tea.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Problem is.
Why are you so angry at
this? Why are you so British? You came from another dimension.
Bugger off.
And I also think Guillermo del Toro.
That's the guy.
You know, maybe kind of needs to get over his love for Ron Perlman.
He does like Ron Perlman.
Okay.
Insists on having him in every movie.
He doesn't have to be in this movie. He's kind of a funny character. True. And doesn't. Kind of seems out of place.
That'd be great if Guillermo del Toro did an animated feature, but then he had Ron Perlman as just a guy.
As Ron Perlman.
As Ron Perlman walk on. Yeah. No, yeah, he does. But I'm sorry. I love Guillermo del Toro. He can do no wrong in my eyes. If he wants Ron Perlman to do every part, it's fine by me.
Look, there's a monster. It looks just like Ron Perlman.
I'm Ron Perlman the monster.
Looks just like Ron Perlman the robot.
I'm Ron Perlman the robot.
Et cetera.
Mm. Yeah, I think it'd be awesome.
That's it, because I know we were hyped up for that movie, and
I know.
I mean, it was all right.
You probably would have liked it better if you'd seen it with me.
I doubt that.
It would have smelled terribly.
It would have kept poking me. Hey, listen, watch this. Watch this.
This is the part where the monster does this.
What'd that guy say? What'd that guy say when I said, who's that guy?
All right.
Nah, that's all I have. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll find shit in later throughout future shows to continue to reminisce upon and banter about.
We do. We should. We have lots to talk about.
And
lots
we
of,
will.
Lots to catch up. We can catch each other up, and we can catch the audience up on future episodes of Cinema Recon because...
We'll catch them up on future episodes?
Well, we'll catch them up on us in future episodes.
Oh, okay.
And then...
Then our machine has worked.
Yeah. Hopefully we don't time travel anytime soon. We'll see you next Thanksgiving.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, in the meantime, we're excited to be back. We hope you guys are enjoying this one show now. You can always go back on cinemarecon.com and listen to all of our backlogs of shows. I gotta say, they hold up. They're still good. They're still good. Those movies still exist. And if you still wanted to listen to us talk about them, we're still there on cinemarecon.com. So just
waiting for you.
Just waiting for you to talk to us.
Watching.
Yeah. And always email us. We'd love to do more things on this show, interaction with the
viewers.
Listeners,
with the people
watching their radios. And we're just happy to be back. It's good to be sitting at the tables in front of the mics.
Ah, it feels good.
So I think that's...
Riding a bike. Riding a bike with microphones on.
riding a bike that doesn't go anywhere. And that's about it, I think. I think next week or maybe a week after, we'll see how our time permits. But hopefully we can start doing this on a much more regular basis.
Sounds good.
All right, buddy. Well, thanks again. And I think that's it.
All right. We'll see you guys next time. Stay tuned right here. Cinema Recon.
Smog.
Smog.